Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. In this segment, we're going to be talking about, one of the best things that the Keweenaw has to offer, the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge. And here to help me do that is Harvey Desnick. He is the coordinator at the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge. Harvey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course, no stranger to the radio station, so it's always good to have you back in here.
Yeah, it looks somewhat familiar. Actually, the redesign looks a lot better than it did when we were here and had it filled with automated equipment. And we're way past that. I did predict one day, I'm serious about this, I said, we're going to have our format a little chip. And voila, here we are.
Of course, these days you're up at the lodge there and looking after things. And of course, everybody who's in the area knows that the lodge has had its ups and downs over the years. And we wanted to kind of, talk a little bit about the history of the lodge. And it's got just such a rich, remarkable history. So many people connected to it. So many great memories for the lodge. And I'm one of those who are going to stand here and say, I don't think that those memories are done being made. I think the lodge has a bright future. It's a beautiful facility. I've never golfed there. And I can't wait to have a chance to be able to golf there. But I have visited the lodge before, and it's remarkable. It takes your breath away when you're coming up that drive off US 41, and you can't really see the lodge too well from the main road. And as you're coming up and it starts to come into view, it's like, wow, what, it's a hidden gem, and it's just gorgeous.
Yesterday, I took a drive up on Brockway Mountain to use my cell phone, because it's a little tough there. And what's so cool is you can see that lodge and the golf course spread out on the top of that mountain. And you kind of wonder, that was a unique idea to pick that location, because it really is a mountain lodge. And the entire golf course is on a very high elevation.
Now, it's got a very unique history. Most resorts that are built by private entrepreneurs, and some of them are old, some of them are new, but it's usually a bunch of investors to have this business for themselves, and it changes hands several times over the decades. The Keweenaw Mountain Lodge started off as a project, and it was built in the hands of the county from the beginning. Kind of talk a little bit about how that came about.
Well, at the end of the Depression, there were a lot of miners, there were a lot of people out of work here. And in a program that basically is like what we're talking about today, a massive infrastructure program that created things like the WPA, and politics must have been good here, because they managed to get this project going. It was built from logs that were cut on the property that basically formed the golf course. I found a package of old pictures that actually are photos of the construction of the lodge, and hopefully we'll have those up there so people can see them. They created a work program, and they put a lot of people to work. And when you see the conditions that they built this in, with a lot of this taking place in the winter, just the idea of where this is at, when you start thinking of where this is at, circa 1930 something, you can just imagine, how exciting and amazing that was. And and then Ocha Potter, and I'm not exactly up on his total history. He was the designer of the golf course, and it is probably one of the more challenging but fun courses to play, just because of the terrain. Sometimes your ball does wind up in the rough, kind of like what we call the woods. and many balls are lost. I always say, if you're worried about the cost of balls, bring the cheap balls, or keep it on the fairway. But it's just a fun course to play. We have wildlife running around. Just since I've been there, you come up in the morning, there's a half a dozen deer grazing on number two. The little red fox that lives in a culvert, he's hopping across number seven. And I think he was stalking the two sandhill cranes that were sitting there chortling. So it can be kind of exciting. And there is a shot of what's being dubbed the Keweenaw Moose that was coming across number five. But we haven't seen that yet. So, but getting back to the main subject, so it was built with the idea of creating jobs for the community, to create a recreational facility that would benefit the county and bring tourists and tourist dollars. And I think that since that time, that has always been the message as to why it was important to keep the Mountain Lodge, keep it running, because it was, in essence, a gift to the county. That part of it took place in two pieces. When it was completed, I think it was given to the county for a buck or something like that. And another portion was put together by the state of Michigan. So there were actually one smaller piece and one bigger piece that make up the Mountain Lodge property that encompass the cabins. There was also plans to finish an 18-hole course there, and that just never came to happen.
Was there a golden age of the lodge when it was, you know, seeing big crowds every year and a lot of events happening there?
Well, I think, you know, it's always been a focus for gathering and fun, and I think that it was always looked on as a the upper crust. Okay, the common man, I don't think, felt as much a part of it, and I think that that's always been a little bit of a stigma. I mean, it's not expensive. You see that stone wall, but amongst these photographs, I mean, you've got all these great antique autos, I'll call them, parked in the lot, and all the women wearing bonnets and the long dresses and carrying their tray, of food, and it just must have been amazing. And it was a collection of, the community, the people that owned businesses, that lived here, that worked here. And it had, and just the idea that Keweenaw County, which really has, more, they especially at the time, had a lot of extractive industries. There wasn't a lot of that kind of development. And so it gave them a much larger tourist footprint, I guess you might call it.
And I guess it's good to keep in mind, too, that things weren't any different back then as far as if you wanted to go to someplace nice, you had to go a long ways away. So having, the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge basically in your back 40 was a nice thing to have.
Right, right. No, and, it's obviously an easy, day trip up for anybody from probably, the UP. A lot of people coming up and staying for, several days or a week. And because there's a lot to explore in the Keweenaw. So it's a great base camp for a lot of people. And people like to golf. I mean, they're right there. Walk out your door and enjoy some of the best scenery and best golf in the UP.
Now, I don't know if there are any, but has anybody of note or famous people ever stayed at the lodge that you know of?
Oh, boy. We always get, during the summer, a parade of current, politicians. They always make the scene one way, shape, or form. But, gosh, I wish I had a better answer for that. I didn't research that question.
Oh, no problem.
Well, how many presidents slept here? 10 or 12, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there weren't that many since it's been... Everybody's been there.
Yeah. Well, certainly anybody who's anybody from the area has probably been up there.
Certainly.
Or at least been up there to either golf or grab a bite to eat. You're situated in Copper Harbor, which I don't know if there's any better place to be. There are a number of places in the area to stay and to eat at the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge continues to be one of those ones where there's a specialness to going there. Again, there are other hotels, they're great hotels, other places to eat, but oftentimes when I hear people who come back from Copper Harbor, if they went to the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge, they make a point to say, yeah, I went there, and talk about their experience.
Well, I think that a lot of that has to do with theme, ambiance, history. Physically, it's a lot different than any of the other establishments. I mean, you just don't have the old log interior and the mystique of the past. And so I think all of those things come together to create an environment. And I'm real big on environments, you know. I've done things where environment means a lot. How people feel when they walk in a door. The music that they hear, the way that it looks, the feel of the way people are dressed. I mean, this all goes to this ambiance, and I think that the lodge has so much of it inherent. They don't have to work at it a lot, where a standard restaurateur would, you know, have to design a place to create that. I mean, we have what was created, and I think that makes it even more special because it's the original. The real logs, the real place, the high ceilings, the giant timbers. You know, it's just like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Of course, over the years, as the economy of the area began to change, attendance would have declined, and the use of the lodge had, you know, gone down, and the lodge had, you know, struggled for a number of years, and that's just the, you know, it's the nature of any business, and probably, you know, if it wasn't county-owned, you know, a business like that may not have been able to stay afloat. But of course, you have the county who's there to, you know, help manage things, and then for, you know, I know a contentiousness surrounds that, whether or not that should have continued, but here we are today. The lodge is still up and running, still a wonderful place. It is now up for sale, and we wouldn't do the topic justice without at least talking a little bit about, you know, what's the current situation with the lodge.
Well, let me give you a little bit of history, because I did not know this. This is not the first time the lodge has been up for sale. I was shown an article, first of all, from 1951, I think it was, headlines, Mountain Lodge in Financial Difficulty, okay? That was more than a half a century ago. There was another article in, I think it was 58, that the lodge had been sold but had been taken back, that it actually was sold briefly on a land contract, and after a couple of years, they wound up getting it back. I personally know of a group in, might have been the 80s, that had seriously looked at buying the lodge. And these were some smart local people that probably might have been able to make a go of it, but, you know, backed away at the end. So, and each time that, you know, the lodge had any financial stress, you know, the county dug into their pockets and kept it running because of this original intent. And that was, and you could hear it at every council, a commission meeting, that, you know, it's jobs for the Keweenaw. We're hiring local people. This provide, you know, helps the economy. And to support it was, you know, considered an obligation. And I've suggested it's a county park. You know, it's unfortunate that we couldn't run it that way, like a state park, where we allocate and had the resources to fund a facility like that, because whether it's Yellowstone or Isle Royal or, you know, Fort Wilkins, these are not profit-based enterprises. They're community resources that provide jobs and opportunity for tourists and are supported just by their nature, by the state, and, you know, operated by vendors. So I think if we were to crank back the clock, I think that would be the most ideal kind of situation for the Mountain Lodge. But I think in the future, what is going to be the best solution is that a lodging operator in the business sees this opportunity. And I've suggested it may even be an operator that has had a past experience with the lodge. There's a lot of emotion around this property because of its history, because of all the things that we were talking about a minute ago, about its inherent, you know, ambiance and reality, and just, you know, it is what it is. And I think that that has an appeal. So, yeah, a couple of, you know, reasonable operators have, you know, knocked on the door. I know that, you know, nothing is going on right now other than waiting for approval from rural development on the choice of realtor, and I believe that the survey is underway. So those things get done. I do believe it will be sold. I think it does have a serious attractiveness, and those that would do so would invest what they know would be required in order to make it work.
Is the decision to sell the lodge the choice of the county?
No. The federal government had ordered it up for sale. I mean, at some point in the process, you just got to, you know, bring the hammer down and get it done. And that eventually came in November. And so they, at that point, debated, you know, should we continue to operate the lodge or should we literally shut it down? And here again, I mean, it's A, jobs of the county. B, you've got a golf course that if allowed to go fallow or whatever you want to call it, it would require a complete rebuilding. I mean, you can't allow a golf course to go to weeds and then just, hey, we'll go mow it today. It'll be great, you know. So consequently, they decided to run the facility, maintain the business. I think as a going concern, it is a better opportunity. And so the going concern value was, you know, one of the deciding factors as well. And I think that people seeing it operating, seeing people enjoying themselves, and is a big part of getting it sold.
So here we are in about the midpoint of May here. When is the lodge open right now for business?
No, we do have guests checking in as early as the 21st of May. And I think a number of those are actually going to be booked in with us and be taking the boat to Isle Royale. So they won't be staying real long. And on the 24th, we have the 24th and 25th. The 24th is the pre-Black Fly, which is an evening golf tournament. Starts at 5, fun, par 3. The next morning is the men's Black Fly. And that starts, I think, tee-off time was at 9 o'clock. And that's an 18-hole deal. And it's become quite a tradition. And a lot of guys come up because of that. I mean, you know, look. Living up here, playing golf, playing with the Black Flies, you know, you're in your element.
So that's one of the questions that we commonly get here at the station is, okay, so the lodge is opening up. Well, what part of it's opening up? Because we're hearing that the restaurant will not be opening.
No, that's not correct.
Okay.
We have quite a parade of guests besides the public that come through there. The previous management made commitments for food service and other things for breakfast that after looking at this, looking at the number of people that we have on the property, looking at the resources that the lodge had spent money on that should be put to work. I mean, they're income-producing assets. And, you know, if all you need in the kitchen is a cook and a dishwasher and a waitress, I mean, you've added three jobs and you can serve food. Entire facilities operating.
Really?
So it, huh. Yeah. So it made, you know, it only made sense that when you have 150 people staying in your lodge, that a few of them may get hungry. Okay. So we've designed a pub menu, which people can enjoy either lunch or dinner. It's not extravagant. It's not fine dining, okay. We probably won't have drizzled desserts and, you know, stuff that looks like art, but it's going to look pretty darn good. And, I mean, we want to serve, you know, reasonably priced, good food that without getting extravagant. Okay, so we've got some good burgers. We've got some good sandwiches. We're putting together what I've dubbed Little Betsy's Pasta Factory. And basically, that's just to build your own pasta. You start with a linguine and you start adding a different, you know, a sauce and then you can add vegetables, you can add chicken, voila, you've built it. So it's simple, basic, but I felt that we needed to, and salads. You've got a variety of guests, ages, tastes, and so without, you know, it's a one-page menu, and I think it'll work well, and we'll have traditional items. So I think people enjoy it.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first I've heard that it's going to be a fully operating lodge for the summer.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't see doing it any other way. And I've been given the, you know, autonomy that I think is required to make decisions that will allow us to take advantage of business opportunities. And to me, that was one glaring problem that we had, that we had this stove that they had spent a bunch of money on just the previous year, And I'm going, oh, guys, this is one of those things that can make money for us. It isn't just sitting in a corner blowing air, okay? And we just have to put it to work. But I think, you know, the past has had its, you know, management issues, and I think that's, you know, definitely, after getting in there as a guy who's, you know, business-focused, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of overspending and you know, there could have been better decisions made. Let me just put it that way. Everybody sure. tried hard, okay? But I'm looking at it, you know, from dollars and cents and bottom lines, which is a little more unique now.
One of the struggles that I perceive that the Lodge has been having is really just in its marketing, because it's such a beautiful facility, looks so great, and it's a very, very good kept secret.
Right.
Which is not what you want when you're trying to get people to come. You could, you know, put the what you have up there, both the building and the golf course, side by side with many, you know, multi-million-dollar resorts that are throughout the country. It's comparable. It's a beautiful place, but yet we're not seeing a lot of, you know, an overbooking of people having their vacations going to the Lodge to spend there because it's the Lodge.
Yeah, you know, here again, it's that mystique that I think it makes it unique. I mean, when, you know, we're waiting to have the realtor accepted, but I've glanced around, see what's out there if you want to buy a resort. And it is unique in its character. I mean, there is nothing like that. I mean, you can buy Lutzen. Lutzen's for sale for over $9 million. Now, you know, that's a project. Okay, so the big boys and girls in the lodging industry, they might be looking at a Lutzen, but, you know, the operating of a Lutzen is pretty high, too. And then there are other groups that are literally buying historic properties and renovating them and running them for their original intended purpose, just for, because they've got the money and they can do good. So you've got a couple ends of the spectrum there in terms of operators. And then, you know, with the price, I think one of our concerns is that it'd make a really fancy home for $1.5 million with its own golf course. And, but I'm feeling quite confident that an operator will pick this up and run with it.
Now, as the new coordinator, and you're, you know, you've got, of course, a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, and there's a lot of people, a lot of eyes on the Lodge. What are your goals here for, let's just start with this particular season?
Well, number one, a business is based on good people. And I was serious when I told them that I want to hire good people, that we need a higher caliber of employee. We don't need more employees. And so I think one of the really satisfying parts of being the coordinator this year was the people that came out of the woodwork, willing to work. I mean, like out of retirement, like me, this crazy fool, that are coming out of retirement and just want to help make the Lodge a better place this summer and a great experience, because that's what they believe it should be. And I've got employees coming back that have worked there, that have not worked there the past couple of years, because of their, you know, not feeling that they wanted to work for the management that was in place or whatever. So that was you know, and I've developed a rapport with the past employees. I've been a member up there for, I don't know what it is, since about the time we moved back here in 2005 or so. And so, you get to know them. You know who are the good ones. And so it was very helpful. So to me, the whole mission is to find people that have more experience and are better at their jobs than I am. I'm not going to be cooking, you know. But I tell you, I do a pretty good job. You want to come over for dinner, but cooking for 50 or whatever, yeah, you know, dinner tonight as they wander in, nope, yeah, that's not my bag. So you've got to have good people, and we're very lucky to have some of the best people out there that have, you know, saying, I'm willing to give a summer here. And I think that that's going to make all the difference, because we're working on providing great service. I think if there was anything that suffered the last couple of years, it was service that could have been better. So, you know, that to me, that's my mission. And through that, I think we'll have a great summer, and it's going to be less costly to operate and more productive because of well-paid, happy people.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to my first round of golf up there. Harvey, I appreciate you coming into the studio today to talk about the Keepin' Up Mountain Lodge.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.